I want to talk about choices tonight. You know, we make choices every day about all different kinds of things. Some choices are not very consequential, others are. You know, it didn't matter whether I picked a blue shirt, a white shirt, pink shirt, whatever, you know, to wear today. That choice doesn't have too many consequences except for it might not match or something like that. And those are consequences you can deal with fairly easily. But we make choices like that every day when we get up in the morning, what we're going to eat for breakfast. And you know those kind of things that just happen. But there are other choices that we make that have consequences. And some of them we make those choices without thinking because we've dedicated our lives to Christ. And we've said in our hearts, you know, that we're trying to live a Christian life. And so we make those choices sometimes knowing that I'm not going to swear, take God's name in vain this day. I'm not going to do certain things because we've ordered our lives in such a way that we wouldn't do that. But I want to talk tonight about making some hard choices. I want to look at some characters in the Bible, some individuals, and some of the hard choices that they made and apply the choices that they made to us today and how they were able to do that. Because the ones I'm going to look at are things that could happen to us. I'm not going to talk about choices that were easy for them to make or choices that would never come upon us, that we would never be tempted in the same way that they were. But I'm going to try to talk about some things that could happen to us and how we need to be able to deal with them. I'm also going to talk about some folks who made some bad choices and how that affected them. When we talk about making choices, we have different influences and situations in life that affect the choices that we make. Some of our choices, the influences are external, such as our family, friends, those we meet every day, if we're students, those we go to school with, if we're workers, those who are out in the workforce that we deal with every day. And they can influence us. They can influence us to do things that we shouldn't do. We can succumb to peer pressure sometimes and make choices that could then cause us to fall away from God. Our family sometimes, we may be a member of the church. Maybe the rest of our family is not a member of the church. And we're trying to do God's will, but we have family influences that bombard us constantly, that try to weaken us and try to take us away from what we know we should be doing. We have to deal with those influences, and we have to deal with them in the right way. And then we have internal influences, which I think are sometimes the hardest for us to see, but they're there all the time. A lot of times we blame some of the choices we make on our family, on our friends, our fellow workers that we're with, our peers. We tend to blame the bad choices we make on them. But there are internal factors. In James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we're told there that we're tempted of our own lust. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away after his own lust and enticed. And then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So this is something that's within us that we have to be on guard about. That the lust that we have are going to cause us to be tempted, and if we continue down that path, we will sin and be out of favor with God. Also, in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, the love of the world, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. These are internal things to us. These are internal passions and desires that we have. They can cause us to make bad choices. And they can cause us to make choices that lead us away from God. So we have to be constantly on guard about this. When we choose to follow God, we're not told that our lives are going to be easy, that there's going to be a cakewalk to get to heaven. In fact, we're told just the opposite. We're told that there's going to be conflict. We're told that it's not going to be all that easy. We can make it easy, and we'll deal with some things later on in the lesson to help make that walk of choosing the Christian life to be easier for us. But we do have to understand that it's not going to be given to us on a silver platter, that we're going to have to work hard at becoming a being a Christian and living the way God would have us to live. It makes it easier, as I said early on, when we've dedicated ourselves and say we're going to live Christ the way Christ would have us, the way God would have us to live. When we make that affirmation up front and strive to that, that will make it easier. But it's not going to be difficult all the time. Over in the book of Matthew, we'll start with chapter 5. Jesus there is talking to the Jews, talking to those he's teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm not going to look at everything in here, but I'm just going to look at a few passages in Matthew right now that talk about different things that can be difficult for us. In verse 39, Jesus talks about, "But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." How hard do you think that is? If someone does something wrong to you, for you not to want to retaliate back, you have to really watch yourself. You have to control those emotions that are within you so that you do not retaliate back in kind for what they've done. Jesus says here, let them hit you again. Let them do what they knew, but don't you take vengeance and retaliate back for that. That's hard to do. We're humans, and we want to retaliate when someone does us wrong. Jesus says that he does not bring peace, but a sword. He talks about that those who choose to follow him sometimes will have to go against father and mother, against brother and sister, against those in his own family. And that's what I talked about a little bit earlier. Those are hard choices for us to make. But to be pleasing to God, sometimes we have to make those choices if it means following God or following our family. We have to make those choices. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go therein at. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." What Jesus is saying there, that we have to enter into this straight gate. It's a narrow gate. When you look at what is being talked about here, Jesus is saying the road to heaven is not going to be very easy. You're going to have to search for it, and it's going to be work to get there. And we have to want to desire it. But you know, there's always help in this. God has said by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that with every temptation that's out there, he's made a way for us to escape. So we can do what's right. There's hope. We can make the right choices if we look for that way of escape each time and do what we've been taught in his scriptures to do, how to order our lives. Looking at a couple of folks that made some bad examples and show how it was these internal desires that caused them to make these bad choices. The first one I want to look at is Achan. We all know the story of Achan. When the children crossed over the Jordan River and they were to go subdue the city of Jericho, they were told not to take anything from that city, that all the spoil belonged to God. Nothing was to go to the children of Israel at all. And the story of Achan is in Joshua chapter 7. But what Achan did, he saw a goodly Babylonian garment. He saw a wedge of silver. He saw some shekels of gold. He lusted those. Those were the lust of the eyes that he saw. And he took those things against what God had commanded. He made a choice that gave in to his baser desires. Choices and desires that we all have and we all have to face every day. You know, we have to face the fact that sometimes wealth is dangled in front of us. But, you know, in order to obtain that wealth, we may have to turn our back on God. Achan wanted what he saw, this wealth, and he turned his back on God. And he was punished for that. Another individual I want to look at who made some bad choices was Jeroboam. Jeroboam became a king. He came from a family who was not from a kingly family. But because of what happened during Solomon's kingdom, God was going to take away part of the children of Israel and establish another country, another nation. He was going to take 10 tribes and give them to Jeroboam to be king over. He instructed Jeroboam to follow after his will and that he would establish his line in the northern kingdom. But Jeroboam, after he became king, he reasoned within himself that, you know, when the Passover comes, we're supposed to go to Jerusalem once a year. He reasoned within himself that if he allows those 10 tribes to do that, he would lose power. They would go back and be under Rehoboam. But that's not what God had told him. God had told him that he was going to establish his kingdom if he would obey him. So Jeroboam made a choice. He relished the power that he had. He didn't want to give that up. So he set up 2 idols in Bethel and Dan. And he told the children of Israel and the 10 tribes, worship these idols. These are your gods. You don't need to go to Jerusalem. It's too far. Although the idol in Bethel that he set up was just a short distance from Jerusalem. They could have easily gone on to Jerusalem from there. Not that far. But Jeroboam made these choices. Choices to his detriment. Because the sin of Jeroboam, God remembered and brought it up many times to the kings that came after Jeroboam, saying that they committed sin like Jeroboam did, and God had very much wrath with Jeroboam. And the story of Jeroboam is in 1 Kings chapter 12, beginning. Talks about what he did there in setting those up. But God had given him a kingdom, but he didn't trust in God. And the power that he thought he had, he would lose if the people went another way. So he did his own thing. He made a choice that he would not serve God. He would set up these idols. The next individual I want to talk about is in 2 Kings chapter 5. Now there's 2 parts to this story. This is Naaman the Assyrian. He had leprosy. And he wanted to be cured of that leprosy. And he was told if he goes see the prophet in Israel, that the prophet could tell him how to be cured. So he goes to Elisha. Elisha doesn't even come out to see him, but gives him instructions of what to do, to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and he would be cleansed. But Naaman, in his prideful behavior, rejected that and went off in a rage because it was something that brought him low. It took away his pride to do something of that nature. When you read the account, you can see that in there. Luckily, one of his servants talked to him and caused him to reason, and he changed his mind and went and did what God told him to. But initially, he made a bad choice. He was given opportunity to change that choice, and it cleansed him of his leprosy when he obeyed God. Now I want to look at some good choices, some people who made some good choices, and apply what choices they made and think about them ourselves to see what kind of choices we would possibly make. The first person I want to talk about is Moses. You all know the story of Moses, how when he was a baby, his mother put him in a basket, put him in the Nile River, and he was taken by Pharaoh's daughter and raised as her own son. As he became older, it became evident that he had all the riches of Egypt at his feet. He was wealthy beyond our imagination. He had a kingdom that could possibly be his. But in Hebrews chapter 11, in verses 24 and 25, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Do you think that was hard for Moses to make that choice? Do you think that was something he was able to do without thinking about? I'm sure Moses had to think about it, but he made that choice. He understood, and we're going to see later on, we'll read a couple more verses, what else awaited for him. But he made that hard choice. How many of us do you think, with all the wealth at our feet, would give it up to serve God? To give that wealth up and say, you know, I'd rather live as a pauper and serve God than be the most wealthiest person in the world and lose heaven. That's the choice that Moses made. He gave up all the wealth of the land of Egypt to serve God. The next individual I want to talk about is David. Now, I'm not going to talk about the whole life of David. David was the king of Israel, but I want to talk about two particular instances in the life of David. And they are, he had been made king, but he wasn't on the throne. Saul was still alive. Saul was still the king. Saul was trying to kill David. He pursued him relentlessly. David was given two opportunities, one in 1 Samuel 24 and one in 1 Samuel 26, to take matters into his own hand, to take revenge on Saul for all that he had given bad to him to do. But David looked at it a different way. And he made a choice that how many of us would make. If we were being pursued every day, hiding out in caves, not knowing where our next meal would come from, knowing that if we stopped, we would be killed. That was what David had to realize. But he was given the opportunity to take Saul's life twice. And both times he said, no, that's not for me to do. That's for God to take care of. He made a hard choice. I would say we would have to really think hard about that when it came down to, you know, I'm going to be killed. But David trusted in God. And that's what we have to do, just as Moses did. The next individual I want to look at is Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph. But his story starts basically in Genesis chapter 37. Joseph, in the beginning, may have made a couple bad choices in that he had some dreams that God had given to him. And Joseph told those dreams to his brothers and to his mom and dad. And he got chastised for that. Maybe it had been better if Joseph just kept those dreams to himself. But he did. He expressed these dreams. And even his father said, you know, is your mother and I going to bow down to you? But that was at the beginning and things went on. But it caused his brethren to despise Joseph. And when they had opportunity, they sold him into slavery. They were going to kill him. But instead, they sold him into slavery. Joseph should have been very bitter at this. Very bitter that his robe that his father had made for him was taken from him, that he was cast into a well, and that he was sold to these Ishmaelites going into Egypt. And he was sold as a slave. He then was bought by Potiphar and was in Potiphar's house. How much time has gone by, we don't know, but there's been a little bit of time, enough that Joseph has risen to a point of preeminence in Potiphar's house. Potiphar has given him charge over everything. Potiphar's wife, we see in chapter 39 of Genesis, tries to entice Joseph to commit adultery. They're alone in the house, a man and a woman. Probably a very desirable woman, testing the limits of a young man. But Joseph took that way of escape that God tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 there is. He ran. He got out of the house and away from the situation. That's what we need to do if we come into situations like that. The lust of the flesh is a very powerful driving force. God has given us these desires for men and women. But we have to control those desires and have them in the proper aspect of marriage. Joseph knew this. He knew what God's will was, and he fled. He made the hard choice, the good choice, to get out of Potiphar's house, even though it caused him to be cast into prison, lies be told about him. But he made that choice. And he didn't regret that choice, as we'll see through his story. Then in chapter 41, of Genesis, Joseph is taken out of prison, and he's made ruler of all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And as he's ruler of Egypt, there comes a famine upon the land of Canaan, a famine upon the whole world. And Joseph's brothers come to him. He plays some trickery with them to get his family down there to see his father, find out about his younger brother, Benjamin. But eventually the whole family moves down to Egypt. And eventually, Joseph's father dies. And Joseph's brethren are afraid that now that Joseph is going to take revenge upon them, because they know that they've done all these bad things to him. But you know, in chapter 50 of Genesis, let's turn over there and read what Joseph says. This takes outstanding character and a dedication to know that an individual has dedicated his life to serve God. And starting with verse 15 of Genesis chapter 50. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." See, they're thinking, we're in trouble now. Dad's gone and Joseph is going to get us because he has the power. Joseph has the power. He is second to Pharaoh in authority in Egypt. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. The brethren asked Joseph to forgive them. And Joseph did forgive them. We'll read a couple more verses here in a minute. But Joseph had compassion on his brothers, and he did forgive them. He didn't harbor that. And we need to understand that. When someone does something wrong against us, and they ask us to forgive them, we need to forgive them. We need to weep with them to understand that, you know, we're sinners also, and we have to ask God for forgiveness. Joseph, I think, understood that. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God." Joseph knew it wasn't his place to take revenge or to requite evil to his brethren. Even though they said they would be his servants, Joseph didn't even want that. They were his brothers. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Joseph treated them with kindness and goodness and took care of them. Joseph, as I say, he made the hard choice. He didn't let bitterness be in his heart. He took that all out and he made the choice that was a good choice, the choice that would give God honor in what he did. And he does tell them, it's God's place to do what he will do. I'm going to do the right thing. And that's what he does. The next individual I want to look at is a New Testament character. And that's the character of Paul. Paul was a well-educated Jew. He was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. He would have, like we would call today, he would have either a bachelor's, master's degree, doctor's degree. He was very well educated. He knew the Jewish law, the Jewish history very, very well. As you say, he was a rising star of Judaism. But he gave it all up to serve Christ. And not did he just give up that. He had persecuted the church. He had been there when Stephen was stoned. But Christ appeared to him. And he told him that you're going to suffer much for being my servant. But Paul realized the choice he had to make was to serve God and to serve Jesus. And that's what he did. And just to look at some of the things that Paul suffered being a Christian, to let us understand that, you know, life may not always be a bed of roses for us, but we still can serve God. We just like Paul did. Once we make a decision, we need to make all of our decisions fit that pattern of service to God and not fall back. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just want to read starting with verse 22 and look at what Paul went through and ask ourselves, do we go through any of this? Yet we make bad choices sometimes. Yet Paul continued to make good choices. Once he decided to be a Christian, he made good choices. And that's what we need to do. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artemas, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Paul, once he became a Christian, trusted God explicitly. He trusted him to get out of this city of Damascus. We know that story. He trusted him when they were shipwrecked on his way to Rome. He trusted him when he was in prison. Paul and Silas, they prayed and sang songs in prison. And the stocks came off of them. The gates were open. The Philippian jailer was going to kill himself because they thought they'd escaped. Paul told him, no, we haven't escaped. They could have, but they hadn't. But Paul made the choices that would assure him that crown of life that he talks about. I want to look at a few verses real quickly that gives us some insight of how these individuals were able to make these choices and how we can make the same choices by looking at some of the same things. Let's go back to Moses in Hebrews chapter 11. And here, as we talked about Moses, in verses 26 and 27, instead of enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, he instead, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses kept his eye on God. He kept his eye on the prize that would await him by being an obedient servant of God. That's what kept Moses going. That's what can keep us going. That's what can keep us from letting the riches of this world overtake us and ensnare us and drag us down. We need to keep our eye on that prize that's out there, on the invisible God who said that he will help us get to heaven. How about David? In 1 Samuel, the 24th chapter, as we talked about, he says that Saul is God's anointed and that God will take care of him. Basically, he says the same thing in chapter 26, verse 12. But I want to look at Psalms chapter 141 and see what David says in this psalm. Here, looking at verses 8 through 10 of Psalms chapter 141. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me and the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. David gave all the cares that he had to the Lord. And he said, let the Lord take care of his problems and that he would be fine, that God would let him escape and he wouldn't fall into the traps and snares of his enemies. That's how David dealt with serving God. And that's how we can too. We can let our cares be cast upon God. And He said He'd take care of us. For Joseph, in chapter 39 of Genesis, Joseph makes a statement there. We already looked at chapter 50, how he said that it was God who was the one who would do the judging, that he was not going to do that. But in chapter 39, verse 9, Joseph says, "There is none greater in this house," talking about Pharaoh's house, "than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me, but the..." No, excuse me. This is when he's talking to Potiphar's wife. "Neither hath he kept back anything from me except thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph realized that to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife was to sin against God, let alone that he would be sinning against his master at the time, Potiphar. But he brought it back that this sin would be against God. And all sin that we commit, isn't it against God? Aren't we telling God that we're turning away from Him when we commit sin? So that's how Joseph was able to make right choices. He knew that if he did something wrong, it would be a sin against God. And he did not want that, as we should not want it. And Paul, we'll look at him real quick, in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. In verses 6 through 9. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul is ready for death to come. He understands that. And he says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith." Paul realized that he's had a life in service to God, and he says that he's kept the faith throughout this time. And he says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing." Paul has given us a recipe for success, a recipe for us to make those hard choices and stay focused and obey God in what we do. He's saying there can be a crown of righteousness laid up for us from the righteous judge. Because he says it's not for me only, but it's for all of those who love his appearing. As we come to a conclusion, I want to talk about two other things real quick. Jesus is probably our ultimate example. Jesus came to fulfill the will of the Father. It was not His will that He was fulfilling, but the will of the Father. We see that very clearly in Matthew, the 26th chapter, when Jesus is praying in the garden. He asked the Father, "Can this cup pass from me?" before His crucifixion. He knew what He was getting ready to have to go through. And He asked the Father three times, "Can this cup pass from me?" But three times He also said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." That's something we need to consider every day. Jesus did His Father's will. Are we doing the Father's will every day? Are we saying, "Not my will, but thy will be done" in everything that we do? That's a way that we can make those hard choices and make them easier for us so they don't become so hard. Because we know we're doing the thing that God would have us to do. And as Paul said, a crown of righteousness can be laid up for us. I want to close with our purpose in life. And that's, I believe, found in Romans, the 12th chapter. Here, Paul is speaking to us here about the first two verses. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." That's what we're here for. We're here to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, to be holy. That means that we're striving to do what's right, doing the will of the Father, which is acceptable to God. And He says, this is our reasonable service. There's nothing hard about it. It's a reasonable service. And He contrasts that in the next verse, "And be not conformed to this world." This world would tell us all the time, make the easy choice. Why make it hard on you? Go down that broad way that leads to destruction. That's what the world would have us do. But as Christians, we can't. We have to take that straight way, the narrow way that's hard and difficult at times. It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what our purpose is here to do, to serve God, to serve Him to the best of our abilities, and use His scriptures and understanding of what is waiting for us in the end to make good choices in our lives, that when the hard choices come, they won't be that hard. We can turn from those choices and not seek after riches, not commit the lust of the flesh, not have that pride that uplifts us and won't let us bow our knee to God. Because that's what happens sometimes. We get prideful and we don't want to bow our knee and obey God. The lesson is yours. I hope that each one of us can gain something from realizing that there are hard choices out there, but we can make them easier if we understand what God would have us to do, and that we have a home in heaven if we obey Him.